Oh, good one. Double shot there.
Today's going to be a good day. I can feel it.
I'd like to call us into session this morning to our day 8. We'll begin with prayer. And Congresswoman Pratt, will you give me some time to render a morning prayer for us?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the rain and the weather that we are experiencing. I just ask that your mighty hands be upon my colleagues and all the leaders of the Osage Nation, that we work hard and use your kindness and wisdom and live by your word as we move forward and try to do the best that we can for all of our people. And I ask a special blessing upon the Osage Nation employees, and that they not have any fear or feelings about anything that's going on within our nation. And I just ask you to be with them and be in their homes and within their families and give them good health. And I ask the same for my colleagues here. And bless our children and elders and all the Osages, wherever they may be. And I just thank you again, Lord, for all that you do for us, for everything you have blessed us with, and continue to guide us in all that we do. I ask these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Madam Clerk, I have a roll call for our presence, please.
Congresswoman Buffalo Heads.
Present.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Present.
Congressman Hamilton. Congressman Maker.
Here.
Congressman Norris.
Here.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Present.
Congressman Shaw.
Here.
Congressman Supernaw.
Here.
Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Congressman Walker.
Here.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Here.
Speaker Mason.
Present.
Assistant Chief Redcorn.
Present.
Just to note that Congressman Hamilton left yesterday not feeling well and called in. We hope he has a speedy recovery from whatever is ailing him. And Ms. Whitehorn is here. Made it. Great. Thank you. At this time, going to number 3, which is approval of the journal. Please look, if you will, and reflect if there's any corrections, additions, deletions to the journal of the 7th day, September 13th. Please advise. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Forget it. Sorry. I understand now. I thought I saw something, but I reviewed it a little further and didn't.
Thank you. Congresswoman Pratt.
Page 2. After, I think I already talked to you about this, Shannon. After governmental. Missing operations.
Thank you. So noted and is to be corrected. Congressman Walker.
Looking, it still may be on here, but Congresswoman Edwards made a motion to have the water treatment bills assigned to health. Never, there it is. Bottom of the page 2, I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Congressman Walker.
Motion to approve the journal as amended.
Do I hear a second? Second by Mr. Supernov. Discussion, hearing none. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Those opposed say no. Journal is approved. Moving on to number four on our agenda is reports of select committees. Are there any select committees? Congresswoman Pratt.
Good morning, Speaker, members of Congress. Thank you. Rules and Ethics, Matt for Engrossment, and I'm reporting ONCA 1673, an act to authorize and appropriate $250,000 to the Barrel Assistance Fund from fiscal year 2017 revenue and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Alice Buffalohead. The final committee action is due pass is properly engrossed with 3 yes votes from Pratt, Buffalohead, and Edwards. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. ONCA 1673 is on third reading today. Any other reports from select committees? Hearing none. Any other reports from select committees? Any reports from standing committees? Congresswoman Bufflehead.
Government Ops met yesterday on bill number ONCA 1685, an act to provide an appropriation to the judicial branch of the Osage Nation for fiscal year 2017 in the amount of $524,086 and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congressman Shaw. Presiding officer was myself. The final committee action was a due pass with yes votes from Buffalohead, Whitehorn, Norris, Supernov, Tillman, and Walker.
Thank you. Okay. 1685 is going to general order day one. Congresswoman Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members of Congress. The Education Committee met on ONCA 1698, which is an act to authorize and appropriate $8 million to the Osage Nation Higher Education Scholarship Fund from fiscal year 2017 revenue and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Shannon Edwards. The co-sponsor is Joe Tillman. The date of the meeting was yesterday. The final committee action is due pass with yes votes from Edwards, Maker, Norris, Mason, and Walker, 1 absent, Hamilton.
Okay, thank you. 1698 is going to general order day one. Any other standing committees to report out? Hearing none. Number 6, introductions of bills or resolutions. Congresswoman Whitehall.
Mr. Speaker, members of Congress, I'd like to introduce a bill, and I have 2 brief things I want to tell you about it. This bill is to provide an appropriation to the limited liability company Blue Stem Ranch, LLC, in the amount of $1 million and to provide an alternate effective date. This appropriation bill is a result of the board met this past week, and they had also met with the Office of the Chief and found out that they had been trying to get the land to do their ranching operation on, get a pledge from the chief's office for the land, found out that they're going to have to do a competitive request for proposal with other people. The money we appropriated to them back in the HUNCA session, the $2 million, was for operations of a ranch. They They filled out their plan accordingly, which they presented to Congress. Now that they're having to bid to lease the land for the ranching purpose of the Blue Stem Ranch, they think that they might need to have a little bit more money. So this is why I was asked by the chairwoman of the board to put in an appropriation request for $1 million for the prospect of leasing the Osage land to put the ranch on. Also, another note about this bill, I will revise it before I present it to the committee. This bill that I'm filing today or presenting today says that the money will come out of the general fund and the treasury. I'm going to redirect that to come out of the economic development fund instead of the general fund of the treasury. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other introductions of bills or resolutions? Hearing none, going to number 7, bills and resolutions on first reading, ONCA 16-110, Congressman Shaw.
I'm sorry, repeat.
16-110.
Gotcha. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of Congress and Assistant Chief, I introduced this bill yesterday, so today is on first reading. ONCA 110, an act to amend ONCA 1582 to provide a supplemental appropriation of grant funds to the Division of Land, Commerce, and Public Safety for fiscal year 2016 in the amount of $100,000 and to establish an alternate effective date.
Okay. And thank you. ONCR 1639, Congressman Supernov.
I'm reading ONCR 1639, a resolution declaring consent, congressional consent and approval of the Blue Stem Ranch LLC Board's annual plan of operation for fiscal year 2017.
Thank you. And to note that ONCA 16-110 is assigned to Commerce. ONCR 16-39 is assigned to Commerce. Moving now to number 7, third reading. Congresswoman Edwards.
Move to refer ONCA 1673 back to the Rules and Ethics Committee.
And have a second discussion. Congresswoman Edwards.
So today we had a meeting of Rules and Ethics to engross this, and there was two of us here, and one of us came after the meeting had been recessed. And I don't care, but I don't think our minutes are going to match up with the committee report that we have. And so I think we need to go back and look at it again and engross it again so that we're in recess, we can go back and make sure that we have it so that the minutes will reflect the committee report.
Any other discussion to the motion? Congressman Walker.
So are you guys going to meet later today, tomorrow?
Any other discussion to the motion? Hearing none. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. Opposed, say no. 1637 is referred back to the committee. Moving on to motions and notices. And we have our guest that is invited by us. Need to go into a committee as a whole. The speaker would entertain that motion. Congresswoman Edwards.
We have to go into the committee as a whole for the purpose of discussion with the Attorney General per the motion of whatever date.
Yes,
that was
I have it. Ago. Thank you. Do I hear a second?
Second.
And I have a second discussion. Hearing none, we are in a committee as a whole. And at this time, I'd like to invite our Attorney General. Please come forward. And we had a request, and this is from Edwards, and I'll address our Attorney General firstly. Thank you for being here and responding. Question is, please share with us your process for referring information which may warrant investigation of any violation of any Osage law. Please explain your process. That was the question that brought you here.
I will be happy to. Good morning, Speaker, members of Congress, Assistant Chief. We actually have several different complaint forms that have been developed since I became the Attorney General. We do have an ethics complaint form that anyone can fill out that's basically just for ethics only. And that is provided for under our rules of the court, ethics laws, complaint and appeals, which is developed by the Supreme Court of the Osage Nation. There is also a notice of violation of Osage law, which is handled differently and requires different information. But it is also turned into and governed by the ethics law of the court. Now, we also have a form that's in our office, really doesn't apply to you all, wherein if we need an investigation done, such as through the Whistleblowers Act, or we obtain information that needs further investigation from the police department, that form is assigned a number simply for records keeping purposes in our office.
Okay, thank you. Members of Congress, we have our Attorney General here, and she's explained her process, which was the request for her to come for any of our laws. And the forms that you have, let me ask this, Ms. Attorney General, those particular forms, I believe are being passed out at this time.
That's correct.
We all have those particular forms in front of us. We appreciate that very much. If there's any questions, again, these are different forms if you'd like to explain a little bit further. Thank you.
And Speaker, just so you know, and members of Congress know, there is a different process that is used through the courts for elected officials or appointed officials versus employees, because the employees do have certain rights through human resources, the right to appeal, the right for grievance. Those of us that are appointed or elected, it's a different process. So just so everyone knows, an employee has a different process that they go through, and that's mostly through HR rather than through the court system, unless it is a criminal complaint.
Thank you. Congresswoman Edwards.
Do you know the first form that you handed out says Jeff Jones, Attorney General, on it?
Yes.
Oh. Just thinking you might want to take credit for your...
Well, thank you, Congresswoman Edwards, we will get that corrected immediately.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Once someone files an ethics complaint form, does it become a matter of public record, or is it somehow protected? And at what point does it become a matter of public record, and or does it become available to the person against whom the complaint has been filed?
In my opinion, it is protected from the public. That is not clear in the rules of the court. So I'm speaking to you from my opinion alone.
Does the code say whether it is or it isn't?
It does not specify. It's general. It does say that the court shall generate a summons and calendar a hearing at least 60 days from the date of filing. And then it tells you what the summons must have, and that's under 4.4. And at that time, you're also served with your schedule for hearing.
And that happens if after the ethics complaint form is filed and the AG does an investigation that you believe that an ethics complaint is warranted in the courts?
Correct.
And if you don't believe that, then the case is closed or the matter is closed and the form never becomes a matter of public record?
At this point, that has not come up.
Okay.
And I can't answer that question. I would tell you that if someone, the person who it was filed against came to my office and asked to see that complaint, I think that person would have a right to see that, as well as the investigation and why the outcome was what it was.
After it's completed.
Correct.
Okay. So are there any, you all have any policy about that? I'm trying to see if we need any clarifying language anywhere.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we need to have a policy, or yes, we do need clarifying language?
Both. Yes, we need to have a policy. Yes, we need to have clarifying language. As a matter of fact, I got an anonymous letter this morning that was basically an ethics complaint from an employee that had been fired, stating some pretty strong violations. And we have no policy for that, had that been signed. Obviously, since it's anonymous, there's not a lot we can do with it. It just said, as a person who'd been fired, it's against the policy and procedures.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions? Any more questions? Congresswoman Edwards.
So when I look at the notice of violation of Osage law.
Yes, ma'am.
That's the form that any person would use when they believe that. To what level do we have to know that law has been violated? I'm looking at it. It says, by completing this form, you are alleging an individual violated the Osage Nation law.
I would interpret that very broadly.
Okay.
And let the Attorney General's office make the determination as to if the law or the code had been violated.
I just wonder if the form should indicate it, that you have information which may lead to the discovery. I mean, I'm a little concerned because in some instances we may not know for sure whether law has been violated, but we have some information which might lead us to believe that. However, if there was more information that was forthcoming, we might have another opinion. So I'm just concerned that this form appears that you know that there's been a violation where you may not know for sure, but you have information that you believe warrants investigation. And maybe you're comfortable with that, and maybe we should be too. I'm just pointing it out.
I don't think that's a bad suggestion at all, because of what's required within this form. I don't think any, Jane or Joe is just gonna take the time to complete this entire form to harass somebody. And if that was the case, then action would be taken against that person, so.
I also don't know about the use of the word suspect.
The connotation.
Right. There might be some civil infractions that warrant some sort of penalty, but I just...
Well, and perhaps we should put law or code at the top.
Okay, I'm just looking at this for the first time, pointing out some observations.
I understand. I appreciate it.
Thank you, both Congresswoman Edwards and Attorney General. We have one more question. Again, as we all are just now receiving these and, again, reflecting over your forms, there may be some additional questions from other members that might be worth listening to, and if there's need for change, that'll be your changes and your office to do. At this time, Congresswoman Buffalohead, you have a question?
Yes. So earlier you mentioned that you received a letter that was anonymous, and I would venture to guess that you probably have received numerous things in the past that are anonymous, and then you can't really do anything with those, and I understand that, but what do you do with them? Like, you can't file an ethics complaint against anyone, but what do you do with those pieces of information? Because I'm sure there are some things that come to your office that are anonymous that actually have merit. So do you send that over to the entity where the blame is going and say, P.S., here's an accusation against, you know, this department or this person, and or this policy that's been broken, and you need to look into this, or what happened? Or do they just go to a file and...
No, usually if we can identify what department or particular person, we will share that with them, and we do also keep a file.
With their... check in with, does it go to, not with just to the person, but somewhere in their chain of command so
correct.
That they can ensure that that policy is not being broken?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And then we know who all we've talked to on what dates, put that on the letter, and that letter goes into a file should something come up.
Should something come up in the future where it actually is
correct.
Able to be... where they are able to get in trouble, and then you noted that you were warned about it?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Congressman Edwards.
Okay, I'm a little confused. So if someone identifies a violation, well, it's different between a complaint and a violation of law.
Yes, ma'am.
So if they just file an ethics complaint without identifying themselves, then there will be no investigation beyond what's in the... Will there be an investigation at all? No.
It would just be... This particular letter will be copied to HR due to the fact that they state they were fired against policies and procedures.
But I'm talking about in general. In general, someone comes and files an anonymous ethics complaint.
Correct.
Will any investigation be undertaken or any action be taken in the absence of an identity of the person who made the complaint?
It would depend on the severity and the detailed amount of information we received.
All right.
It is a possibility, yes.
On the notice of violation of Osage Nation law, any information that comes from that will be investigated?
If it is sufficient and there is merit to it, yes, ma'am.
And how will you know that before you investigate it?
Well, if they give us enough information to start an investigation, then we would immediately start that investigation. If it went nowhere, you know, obviously it's somebody who just has a personal issue or is mad about something that's happened. But if there is sufficient information that there's been a violation of the law, especially, we would certainly get that to our investigator or the investigator for OMPD.
One more. I heard you say once the matter's closed, if there isn't an ethics complaint filed or some other case filed, you said that the person against whom the ethics complaint was filed, or I guess the notice of violation was filed. to review the file. If the does the person who filed the ethics complaint or the notice of violation also have that opportunity after the case is closed?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you. And before we go into any other questions, I know that our Attorney General is sporting an injury and is on cast. If you'd like to sit down, we'll make accommodations for you.
I'm good. Thank you,
okay,
Speaker.
Thank you.
If it goes on much longer, I may need to.
Okay, thank you
I'm
very
good.
Much.
Yeah, thank you.
Mr. Tillman.
I'll be quick. Hi, Holly. Thank you. These complaints or the violations of Osage Nation law, do they have to occur in within the Osage Nation jurisdiction?
That depends. That depends on the crime or the violation.
Do you have a list of what could happen or that?
Well, if, for instance, two Congress members got together and did something that violated the law, but they weren't necessarily on restricted or trust land, that could still be an ethics violation or a criminal act. It would just have to be investigated. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. But there was a time as a former division leader that we had a person that was created a violation. I think it was numerous violations within Osage Nation law,
sure.
Ethics. And because the Attorney General's office said if it was within our jurisdiction, this person would have been guilty of that crime. But since it was not, it was pretty major that they had to let it go.
I would just have to review that myself.
Mm-hmm.
My answer may be different. Depends on, like I said, the crime and if a employee, for instance, smokes pot in their own home and it's not on restricted or trust land, I can't charge them for that.
Sure.
Now if they come to work high, that's a different story.
Yeah. Well, I can visit with you later about the incident.
Okay.
You can just give
sure.
me clarification.
Be
you.
Happy to.
Thank you. Acknowledging Mr. Supernaut and Congressman Laker.
Does the nation have a statute of limitations?
No, sir.
On any crime or any violation?
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, I've heard that, and I just... And even then, it would... Well, if it don't happen, I guess that's a good enough answer.
Thank you. Congressman Maker.
Yes. My question is, in this violation, in this form here, does this specify if it's a misdemeanor or felony charge or violation?
It would have to be a misdemeanor because in our courts we can't handle felonies. So even if it is a felony, right now we have someone charged with murder one, but it's still a misdemeanor due to the fact that our courts are not allowed by the federal government to handle felony cases.
So then, what about Osage members, top members versus non-Osage people who commit crimes?
At this point, there has been an instance in Cherokee Nation Court. They have the VAWA grant, which is the Violence Against Women's Act, where they were able to prosecute a non-Indian male for abusing an Indian female within the Cherokee Nation boundaries. That's the only instance I know of a non-Indian having criminal charges and being prosecuted in Indian court.
So does that set a standard for all tribal?
Sure, but we have to get, the Violence Against Women Act grant first, which we've passed our constitution now allows for that because it is up to speed with the federal guidelines, which is a punishment up to 3 years. So now we've got to get busy and get the rest of the grant completed.
One more quick one. Is there such a thing as a citizen's arrest? I mean, is that real? Like if someone violates a law, I say, hey, I have citizen's arrest. I mean, I want to.
There is. I would not advise that.
I just want you to know. I
might
see
busy,
something.
John.
I may see something going on. I could, you know.
I would, you know, feel strongly about it. Call OMPD and hold the person there until
okay,
they can get there.
I'll hold this.
Yes, sir.
That's all. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Members, are there any other questions of our Attorney General regarding to our process that she has? If not, well, we appreciate your attendance and your responses, and we may very well generate some more questions. If we do, we'll give you a call and
great,
and see if you can acknowledge them, and if they're worth anything, you can have them. If they're not, you don't have to have them. So.
Well, thank you.
Well,
for
thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Speaker, and Congresswoman Edwards, thank you for the suggestions. We'll probably make some changes there in that language so that it sounds less threatening. And so, thank you, Speaker.
Thank you,
members of Congress. Thank you, Assistant Chief.
Appreciate it.
We are in motions and notices, announcement of meetings. Oh, I'm sorry. We need to come out of committee as a whole.
So moved.
Okay. Motion has been made and seconded. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Okay. Opposed? None. We are out of committee as a whole. Announcements of meetings. Mr. Shaw.
Appropriation will be meeting from 4 to 6.
Okay, thank you. Congresswoman Pratt.
Culture will meet at 12:30 to 1:30, and
okay,
then rules and ethics from 1:30 to 3.
Thank you. Congresswoman Bufflehead.
Government ops meets immediately following the session.
Thank you. Congressman Walker.
Health and Social Services meets this afternoon from 3 to 4.
Okay, thank you. We've got a full afternoon. Wishing everyone a good afternoon. Congressman Supernova.
I think there's a possibility we won't meet Friday, but if anyone has any intention of scheduling a committee meeting Friday, I wish you'd let me know, because I don't want to schedule a committee meeting to be the only one that day that calls people back up here. So we're getting a lot of work piled up on us. It's, we need to move on. And if there is going to be any committee meetings on Friday, I'd like to know. So give me time to schedule a meeting before or after that meeting.
Thank you very much for that comment. Congressman Maker.
Yes, thank you, Speaker. Yes, I do have a committee meeting for membership scheduled for Friday, 10 to 11. Just an update from 10 o'clock to 11, just an update of happenings in the membership department, current membership, how many, just an updated membership.
And that involves three of us, Mr. Maker, myself, and Ms. Whitehorn.
I have a family plan that's been long-standing, and I will not be able to be to the meeting on Friday. I believe I even notified all committee chairs before session that Friday was
obligated. Understand. Thank you, and acknowledged. Congressman Pratt.
I don't think
we're assuming we're not having session on Friday because he's scheduled for 10 to 11. So I think that was it. It was just going to be the three of them, and I guess now the two of them on Friday. And I, as the chair of one committee, we don't have a meeting set.
Congresswoman Edwards.
To adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Second.
And a second. Discussion to the motion. Hearing none, those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Opposed, say no. We are adjourned till 10 o'clock.